American Family Association would like to thank everyone who participated in our Target boycott. AFA declared the boycott when Target announced it would allow men into women's dressing rooms and restrooms. Since the start of the boycott, Target lost over $2 billion in stock value. They've scaled back LGBT Pride Month products and added single-occupancy restrooms. Other corporations also reconsidered their policies in light of the Target boycott. Since it served its purpose, AFA has officially ended our Target boycott.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Hello, Ed.
Chris Woodward is our news guy today. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm well.
And from the frozen tundra, Dr. Ray Pritchard, the always steady and reliable Ray Pritchard. Good morning to you, Ray.
How you doing, Ed? It's cold up here.
I wish people could see. Now, we have Ray is remote.
Very remote.
He's very remote. No, but we do have him on. We have little iPads, and so we can see Ray, even though he's in Kansas City. And he is wearing a...
What do you call this?
I don't know what kind of hat that is. You look like Nanook of the North.
Yeah, it's more than a ski cap, right?
You're
it's,
Dr. Zhivago right now. Yeah,
Dr. Zhivago. But that's because it's freezing cold where you're at.
Minus one this morning, right now, just checked, and the wind chill is minus 15 here in balmy Shawnee, Kansas.
Balmy. Yeah.
So if people have watched, was it Christmas Vacation?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, and Cousin Eddie.
The Eddie character?
Yes.
All right. That's right. This is what our friend Ray is wearing right now on his head.
How cold is it? Canada cold, Fred.
It's
chilly up here.
I just want to ask you there, Ray, how much of that hat set you back?
I was with my granddaughter a year or so ago up in Missoula, Montana, and we went a little shopping spree to Shields, and... You know, you're with your granddaughter. You got to spend some money.
Yeah.
Bought her some stuff. And I just saw this and grabbed it. I didn't even look at the price, right?
I know. I remember, and then we will move on, folks. When my daughter, who's now in her 40s, but when she was, I don't know, 5 years old, something like that, my parents, her grandparents, were visiting. And we were at a store, and they had a bin of... they might have been Disney sneakers. I don't know. But she looked at my dad and said, because we said no. She asked mom and dad, and we said, no, you got plenty of sneakers. And she went to her grandfather, and she said, I sure wish I had a pair of these sneakers.
There's no way he's going to say no to
total
no
manipulation. But that's what grandparents are for.
That's right. That's why we're here, friends.
That's right. All right. Okay, so it's cold there. We talked about yesterday in the north. Fred, it was like the northern tier of states was going to be 50 below or something like that, wind chill.
North Dakota, Minnesota, we're talking wind chills, minus 45, minus 50. It is not fit, as the old saying goes, for man or beast to be outside in that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be canceling schools because you dare not want your kids waiting for school buses or anything like that. The other thing... I lived in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada, for a while.
Great name for a town.
So I have felt the minus 45, minus 50 temperatures.
Yeah.
I've mentioned before, there were a couple of times I had to leave my car running all night to save money.
To save money.
Because a couple of times I didn't leave it running all night and have to get it towed to a garage to get it thawed out.
Yeah, otherwise it would crack the block.
I mean, yes, yeah. So having lived there, I know how that feels. But there is, and I'm sure the folks who live in this area do this, if you have to be out driving any distance on the interstates or anything, you need a survival kit in your car.
Yes.
You need to be taking some food. You need to be taking some candles, all of that sort of thing, in case your car stalls. I had the experience of I was driving along an interstate. It was a nice, clear night, but it was freezing cold.
Right.
but my car started what I would call buck.
Yeah. Ooh.
The engine started to freeze. Even though I was moving down the highway 40, 50 miles an hour, it was starting to freeze.
Yeah, the heat could not keep up with the plummeting temperatures.
The cold. I had to get out of the car, and I had to tear some of the top off a cardboard box and put it in the grill, on the outside of the grill of the car.
Yeah.
To block the cold air coming in. And that's the way I survived.
Well, now you stayed in the car. Your car, you didn't drive anymore, is what you're
saying. Oh, yeah, I drove. I was able to drive after that because the cardboard stopped enough of the cold air coming in.
To keep the engine. Wow.
To keep the engine warm.
I would never have thought of that.
Yeah. It's,
so be so careful, folks. You don't mess with this kind of weather.
Well, and you know, listen, you don't mess with a lot of rain and floods. When they say flood warnings, they mean it.
Yes.
If you see water over a road, don't assume that you can just plow through it, because sometimes people get themselves in trouble.
Yeah. It's stories like this that make me sometimes wonder what it would have been like had the Jamestown settlers sailed for Honolulu instead of Virginia. We'd all
that
be
a much longer
yeah,
trip.
Yeah, Ray would not be wearing that hat.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, Chris, we've reminisced enough. We've issued warnings for weather. We've given our weather advisories. Yes. Let's get to the news.
Well, there's a travel advisory for, you know, many people flying or driving because of this weather. And certainly a lot of people are on edge if they're getting on a plane today. And I say that because of incidents involving planes that have been in the news. The big one yesterday, this terrifying story. A Delta Airlines jet flipped on its roof while landing at Toronto's Pearson Airport. The good news is all 80 people on board survived. And those hurt had relatively minor injuries, but no doubt a terrifying experience, especially for the young child that was among those injured yesterday. We have a story about this on our website, AFN.net, and there are various quotes from people that were on board the plane. One of them is a guy named Peter, who told CBC, all of a sudden, everything just kind of went sideways. And then next thing I know, it's kind of a blink, and I'm upside down, still strapped in. There's all kinds of videos out there on the internet today, which you can listen to or watch at your convenience after this show, that show kind of what it was like for the passengers after this happened as they're all pouring out of this plane. A very terrifying experience.
Ray, I don't know that I'd ever go back on a plane. Fred, you said something about the landing gear on the right side collapsed.
The video that is out there right now, taken by the pilots in another airplane that were taxiing there in Toronto. So they saw all of this, and they happened to have their phone out showing this. And it shows the plane coming down very hard on its right main gear. This was an RJ-9, I believe it was, and CRJ-9. And so it landed hard on that right gear and then flipped as if the wing literally broke off. And
the right side collapsed.
Yes. That right wing breaks off, and then the plane, the fuselage, flips right over. And as some people have noted, it was good that that wing broke off because there's a lot of fuel in the wings. So that wing was left behind. The fuselage was basically, other than missing that wing, was kept intact. So everybody inside, I guess the biggest stress was getting unhooked, being upside down inside that aircraft.
Yeah, because they were, Ray, they all looked like, the description has been like bats.
Right, hanging like bats.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you're a passenger and you're coming into Toronto, right, and it's just been another flight, just a little little bit of weather. There's some wind and stuff, right? And then all of a sudden there's a crash. You're flipped upside down, and you're hanging from the ceiling like a bat. And there's, you know, and all your weight then is on your belt, so you can't really get yourself out of there. That's a terrifying thought. And there have been no fatalities, right?
That's correct.
Just some injuries. Yeah listen, the video that I saw, you showed it to me, Fred, that this other pilot was taking. When it flipped, there's a fireball.
Oh, yes.
I guess as some of the fuel explodes. Now, I guess maybe they outran it or outslid it some. But if you're, I mean, it was over in seconds in terms of the event itself, mm-hmm. but surely some people caught a glimpse mm-hmm. of fire, and I can't think of anything more terrifying than being upside down and thinking, what if fire engulfs this plane?
If nothing else, people pay attention to the flight attendant when they said, yes. We're about to land, get back in your seats and buckle in.
Right.
Don't play with that.
Well, I've seen videos of planes hitting turbulence.
Yes.
And a sudden drop mm-hmm. in elevation, and people who aren't buckled up fly up, hit their heads on the top of the cabin.
Neck injuries.
Yeah, it's just, mm-hmm. yeah, do what you're told
yeah.
when those kinds of things, when you're flying.
Now, because we're radio, I have posted videos of the incident we're discussing on our Today's Issues Facebook page. There's a couple of different videos from different angles. New York Post, Fox, and CNN also has one as well.
All right.
Very scary stuff.
All right. And to your earlier point, Chris, these things do happen periodically, but we have had a cluster of them.
Yes.
Here in since the start of the year. So I don't know if, you know, my wife and I have to fly this summer to go to a nephew's wedding, and it's in Utah. I'm going to see if she wants to go trailways yeah. or drive.
Yeah.
It's a road trip.
I don't blame you for being concerned. When these things happen, it's all people talk about for days. It's almost like news outlets now have somebody platooned to be the plane disaster reporter.
Yeah.
Remember like 15 years ago, there was a cruise ship that like died somewhere out at sea, and they had no plumbing, they had no electricity, couldn't have water, they were like airdropping stuff in.
It was a three-hour cruise, wasn't it?
It was, yes. And then like not long after that happened, there was another cruise ship that had a problem. And then there was another one, and I did get it, Mr. Professor. And then, it almost like after one or two cruise ships had problems, then it became a thing, and
yes.
like news outlets were quick to pounce on it. And you know, there are thousands of planes in the air, and the mathematical odds of you being on one in a disaster are very small. You'd probably have a better chance of getting struck by lightning on your way to claim your winning lottery ticket. Than be in something like this, but it is possible.
The odds are less than or greater than you getting milk and bread at the grocery store when a winter storm is approaching.
Yes.
You know?
For people that have never, for people that have yet to fulfill their dream vacation of seeing the South, we like to run for some bizarre reason. We like to make a run on milk and bread. When the guy on the TV says we might get snow,
yeah,
and schools close for
tomorrow,
3 days. Yes,
we might get a little snow. All right, let's. Well, I don't want to get back into the weather thing. Let's continue on with the news.
Well, this is just breaking, developing news out of Washington D.C., and I'll post this on our page as well. The Trump administration is giving America schools and universities 2 weeks to eliminate their diversity initiatives or risk losing federal money, raising the stakes in the president's fight against wokeness. And so in confusion as schools scramble to comply. That's how the AP words it. In a memo, the Education Department gave an ultimatum to stop using racial preferences as a factor in admissions, financial aid, hiring, or other areas. Schools are being given 14 days to end any practice that treats students or workers differently because of their race. There was a time, not that long ago, when this was not an issue. But in recent years, due to efforts by the Obama-Biden administration and then certainly the Biden-Harris administration, schools started doing this thing in the name of inclusivity, and it's wrong. And so the Trump administration is trying to make it right and bring us back to a merit-based system that awards, you know, merit and not what you look like or you know, how you might live your life.
You know, Fred, it's striking to me how quickly this ideology has become embedded mm-hmm. in certain institutions. Like,
yep.
It's not just colleges and universities. That's kind of the way these things, they used to start there and kind of stay in those institutions, but how quickly it went from the colleges and universities down into even the lower grades, and the task of digging that out and getting it out of the school systems just looks monumental.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to do this. I guess they will have people reporting to them, but you know, just one of the things that this story from the Associated Press, what Chris has been talking about, one of the things they're going to be looking for, the directive from the Trump administration It forbids dorms or graduation events for students of certain races. In other words, we're not going to have graduation ceremonies where only one race is represented.
Yeah, there were like dorms entirely for black students and graduations just for for black students.
And people are, if that's not racism, I don't know what is.
Right.
And so there's going to be this effort. It's going to be very hard to manage because this applies not only to universities, but it also applies to schools as well. And what they're looking for is basing admissions, advancement, etc., on merit, accomplishment, and character is what the White House is saying. So, you know, this idea of race-based preferences has been there for a long time now. It's been in place. Programs have been put in place. But this is going to be, it's worth it to make the attempt, but it's going to be very hard to manage.
You know, Ray, I have to give President Trump credit. And we may talk later on about some of the polling that's out where people are giving him two thumbs up kind of thing. I mean, just really praising his efforts to keep his promises. It's kind of it's shocking that a president elected after promising X, Y, and Z, long list of things, is actually doing what he said, and that seems to be striking quite a positive tone amongst a lot of American voters.
We are used to electing presidents who disappoint us within a week, a month, a year, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Trump, I mean, you can tally up strengths and weaknesses any way you want to, and I think his strengths far outweigh his weaknesses for that matter. But I think way over on the strength side is the fact, Ed, he did not wait until Inauguration Day. He got started in the interim period and then blasted out of a cannon. I mean, what are we? We're about a month into his term, right?
Yeah, actually less than a month.
Yeah.
Less than a month. Look how much he has already accomplished. And I think that's why a lot of people in that, you know, the great mushy middle that can go either way. A lot of those folks are, when they're being surveyed, they approve of him because they like a president who's getting things done and who is actually doing what he said he was going to do. We're not used to that.
You know, it's very interesting. You mentioned polling showing that people like what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's winning the polls on this. And I heard a comment yesterday on one of the programs I was watching, and they said President Trump is destroying the Democrat Party, but he's also destroying the old Republican Party.
Yeah,
which I thought it's very interesting observation to make. Clearly, the Democrats obviously lost the last election. Because the American people said, we don't favor open borders.
Right.
Our economy is in a mess. All of these things.
We don't want men in women's locker rooms.
Yes. But the Democratic Party doesn't seem to want to recognize they've got to change their tune.
Yeah.
And perhaps Chris is going to deal with what's going on with Elon Musk, the latest on that front. Mm-hmm. But also the point about Trump has destroyed the old Republican Party. And I think that is true. The party of the Bushes, you know, senior and junior, that party's gone. Like Mitch McConnell voting against Trump's nominees. That old Republican Party has been taken over by Donald Trump, whether you like that or not, or where you stand on that.
Right.
It is now Trump's Republican Party. Very different from the old Republican Party. Because, honestly, when you look at what Elon Musk is doing and what he's discovering...
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to be talking about this. This kind of corruption fraud, which is what this seems to be uncovering, has been going on long before Joe Biden and Barack Obama. And we have to admit that.
Yes.
This has been across Republican and Democratic parties for years.
Well, and I think that people don't like the fact that the amount that you get paid as a president or as a senator or a representative is X, okay? And then when you 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, or when you're near retirement, people say, oh, how in the world did this individual become worth $200 million?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair question to ask.
Yes.
And it smells.
Mm.
And I'm not accusing any of them. You know, maybe they just become really, really smart on their investments. But the difference between what they're worth going in and what they're worth going out smells like corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And it smells like everyone getting a cut off the top. Now, I say everyone. I'm sure there are honest members of Congress in Washington, D.C. But it is striking that, I mean, and again, maybe we'll talk about this later if we have time, but I think I've seen polls where President Trump is more popular in his second term than he was in his first term, which is backwards. That's not the way it usually happens.
CBS poll last week.
Yes.
Confirms that.
All right. Let's move on before we start preaching. Yeah,
there is a lot to go over with Doge. So if we don't get into this before the break, we will, Lord willing, and the Lord tarries, get into it later this hour. One of the things that Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, and Elon Musk, they've been out there trying to find is the just astounding number of Americans that are still on the Social Security database, even though they died a long time ago.
And they're still getting payments.
Right. So Doge has discovered millions of Americans now over the age of 110 are still in the Social Security database. Fox's Cheryl Cassone tells us this is what fraud looks like. Clip two.
Look, this is called Social Security fraud. Elon Musk and Doge have been asked to find fraud, waste, abuse. Here you go, folks. Okay, 14 million Americans are in the Social Security database listed between the ages of 110 and, get this, 360 years old. 369, actually, is the top age. Google it, everybody. You will find multiple stories of evidence of Social Security fraud. Somebody passes away. Whoever's at the residence just keeps cashing those checks. Right. And the government doesn't realize that they passed away. And it's just an automatic check that keeps going out and going out, whether it's a person at the residence or a family member or a neighbor.
Well, listen, Ray, let me just say this. I know someone who had their Social Security number stolen, or anyway, this was during COVID, and someone in two different states started getting money from the government in the name of this person with, wasn't me, I'm just saying,
right,
with their Social Security number. Okay, so they called the Social Security office and they said, oh, well, this happens a lot more than we'd like. There's nothing we can really do about it.
Wow.
And when I heard this story, I thought, what do you mean there's nothing? But the fact is, there's so much money going out of D.C., they can't keep track of it. And the kinds of frauds that we're discussing now, where someone claiming to be 369, I don't know how that doesn't raise a red flag, and the Social Security Administration just says, well, we know that's before the foundation of the Republic, well before Social Security. I mean, we're just cutting that off.
We're expecting to hear Methuselah is still on the Social Security.
I mean, this is craziness.
That's Book of Genesis chapter 5 kind of numbers, you know. Shouldn't somebody pick up on that?
And the thing is, all these from 110. Now, I think that 110 is probably possible, okay? But that they usually wind up on Good Morning America,
right?
You know, right. Because they're so old. But when you start getting past that 150, there, I looked at the chart. There's a lot of people at the 150 year old mark. But the problem is the government is so big.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't keep track of it. And that's what Doge is uncovering. Again, Department of Government Efficiency. That's what they're uncovering. And it's staggering.
Yeah.
And the more that Americans hear about this, the happier they're going to become that Donald Trump is going after it.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is how the Democrats and people in the media seem upset by the whole process.
Yeah.
It's strange. Mm-hmm. We live in strange times, but things that we were thinking might be happening, we're finding out actually are happening in Washington, D.C. All right, We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Dr. Alex McFarland, we're going to have two doctors on the program, folks. We're going to be talking about, can woke ideology become someone's God? We're going to talk to Alex when we come back. Hope you join us.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward, and also remotely from, I want to say, the frozen north, but it's not really that far north, Dr. Ray Pritchard. And now we welcome a regular guest here on Today's Issues, Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, heard weekdays at 3 p.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Alex, welcome back.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
Well, we're doing pretty well. Where are you today? Are you on the road? Are you at home? Where are you at?
My English teacher mom would say I'm behind the preposition.
I like you. But
I am in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'll tell you why. We have got a speaker series we're doing this summer. Ed, my calling is to evangelize the lost, but also my passion is to try and spur the church to biblical worldview. That's what we're about. And we're bringing in some speakers, Dinesh D'Souza, Gary Chapman, Charlie Kirk, and Lauren Green from Fox News.
Wow.
So I'm in the parking lot of First Baptist Church of North Myrtle Beach. And part of the reason we're doing it at Myrtle Beach, there's a theater industry here, and we've rented the Alabama Theater, which seats about 3,000 people. And I'm meeting pastors and just trying to, the 17 million people a year that vacation in Myrtle Beach, while they're down here getting the sun and the sand, we want to give them a little bit of biblical worldview. So over from May to August, we've got these four big speaker series that we're doing, and just trying to, you know, part of revival is what I would call biblical literacy and the life of the mind. And so we're trying to inspire the church to really, you know, not just put their faith in Jesus, but to grow and have a biblical worldview. And as you know, I do a lot of things all over the USA throughout the year to try to encourage that. And
Amen.
So well, I'm out meeting pastors all day today.
Well, you said you're doing this interview and from a parking lot. I know we've had you on this show before, and you are off in an airport in some cubbyhole doing the interview. What's the strangest place you've ever done an interview in?
Twice in airports. Listen to this. So I'm in New York City. This was January of 23. And Todd Starnes and Lauren Green asked me to come up. And then one day I was in New York City and I did two shows with Eric Metaxas. I did an interview with Todd Starnes and I did like two or three interviews pre-recorded with Lauren Green. So I had my Comrex, and the Comrex, folks, is a thing that AFA gives to me. It's basically a radio studio in a box, right? So I called Bert and Brent Austin. I said, I'm going to LaGuardia Airport and my flight is delayed. There's no way I can be on the show. Anyway, long story short, I sat down in LaGuardia Airport and I put all the gear together and I did Exploring the Word live from LaGuardia Airport. I was over in a corner. Well, all these people, they saw me with headphones on and I was out of the way. Well, one by one, people started coming and sitting on the floor. I had an audience of, I kid you not, like 25 people, and they couldn't hear Bert. They could only hear me. And I'm in LaGuardia Airport with a little audience sitting on the floor around me listening to Exploring the Word.
That's awesome. That, cool? That is awesome. I know.
And during all the commercial breaks, I would say, hey, by the way, my name's Alex. This is the American Family Radio Network. And so it worked. And Brent Austin didn't reprimand me too bad for the background noise. And I did the same thing in DFW one time. And part of it is, you know, with the portable gear, you can do the radio show. But I don't like to not be live because whenever we're not live, man, we get a slew of emails and people are like, hey, where are you guys? You know, I tuned in and you weren't live. So we try not to miss.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. And that's just the way the Lord works. Who knows, one or two of those people, maybe more, impacted by the gospel. And we just thank God for those God moments that he just kind of creates. Yeah. All right. So we wanted to have you on just to talk about something. Chris, why don't you kind of set this up for Alex knows about it, but yes. Set it up for our listeners.
Yeah, since the November election and Donald Trump's victory over Vice President Kamala Harris, there is a lady that has appeared on Fox News many times. We've aired many clips of her saying these things. But her name is Lindy Lee, and she is now an ex-Democrat Party fundraiser. And she's been in Fox News and other news outlets for a good while now, including a story yesterday. You, Alex, actually talked to our Steve Jordahl about this very topic that I'm about to mention. But Lindy Lee's latest comments to Fox and other news outlets involves the God, little g, of the Democratic Party. Lindy Lee is quoted as saying that woke is the, quote, religion or God of the Democratic Party. She says things like this: trans woke insanity, they're enthralled by it. They worship it. They live by it. They do what it wants them to do. What do you think about those comments from Lindy Lee that woke is the religion or God of the Democratic Party?
Well, I think it's a very astute observation. And let me say, no Christian evangelist ever had the religious zeal very often manifested by those that are on the woke progressive left. And I'm going to take it even farther than the word religion, Chris, and say it's a cult. And let me explain. In a cult, there are faith claims, there's an orthodoxy, and then there's pressure to join, pressure to conform, pressure to remain. Now let me say some of the faith of the secular left. And see, here's the thing. When somebody doesn't have a relationship with the true and living God, there will be a God, little g, in their life. On the left, I mean, it's the environment. It's abortion and no legal protection for the unborn. It's globalism. It's socialism. It's sexual license. LGBTQ trans. It's that marriage and family are the problem in their eyes. It's self-loathing and hating America. It's the legalization of drugs that will be the panacea to solve things. And it's the idea that more money and welfare programs will solve poverty. So, I mean, it's even though there's no evidence, in fact, there's evidence to the contrary, but the religion of the woke left Democrat Party faith that we can build a man-made utopia if we can just tax people enough. And then there are orthodoxies that you dare not question. You dare not question man-made climate change. You dare not question the right of a woman to abort her baby. You dare not question that children are transgender. I mean, these are orthodoxies that may not be questioned. And then there's pressure to join, pressure to remain, pressure to conform. Guys, these are this is not critical rational thinking or good government. This is a cult.
Alex, Fred here. To your point, what's really interesting, there are some within the Democrat Party that say the things that you're out there promoting are the reason we lost in November. But the Democratic Party of today, the AOCs and many others, are saying, we don't care. We are going to stick with this, even if we keep losing elections, because the American people, at least up to this point, are not willing to say we go along with these things, Democratic Party, that you're prioritizing. So it is, to your point, it's become cultic in their, you know, transsexual. Yeah, we think it's a good idea that men who declare themselves as girls should be allowed to compete in girls' sports. They're not going to give up on this. This is what they stand for. And if it costs them elections, they don't seem to care, which is really strange because most political parties like to win elections.
Well, and this is where it's, again, delusional and irrational. Now, let me say this. Frankly, I'm glad the Democrat Party is hyper woke. I hope they go more woke, because I, as one who fears God and loves America, I want the Democrats to continue losing elections because they're toxic for the country. Let me just say this, that when you have a vacuous position and the facts are not on your side, the way that you defend is by accusing your opponent. And the you saw it in the debates, the Harris debates. This goes all the way back to, you know, Hillary Clinton and her deplorables moment. The debate tactic of the woke Democrat left are ad hominem arguments. And that's Latin. That means to the man. So they'll say, if you don't believe in man-made climate change, if you do believe in parents' rights, if you believe in freedom of religious expression, you're hateful and you're ignorant. It's like, well, you know, we don't believe that EVs will save the planet. Well, that's because you're not smart enough to understand it. We don't think that males should be allowed in female changing rooms. Well, that's because you're transphobic. So all they've got, because they have no evidence, and reality itself is against the woke ideology, all they have are ad hominem attacks. And we conservative Christian hardworking people that believe in living within our means, and we believe that a child needs a mother and a father in the home, and we believe that education should be about the pursuit of truth, not the forcing of indoctrination. We're not hateful. God knows, not afraid of anything. We fear God, and that's it. But we want our nation to be saved, and we know the best way to do that is to elect leaders. Well, we need godly churches, godly homes, but when we elect people, they need to be constitutionalists that believe in morality. Two things you don't find within the ranks of the Democrat Party.
Well, that's excellent insights there, Alex. We always appreciate your biblical take, spiritual take, on a lot of the political and cultural things that are going on. What are you and Brother Bert talking about this week? What can folks look forward to if they tune in to Exploring the Word at 3 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio?
Well, thanks, Ed. We are in Exodus, and we've just finished the plagues. And so, they're going to leave Egypt, and Pharaoh and his armies will be in pursuit, will be in Exodus 13, and then, you know, the parting of the Red Sea. So, you know, we figured out in 15 years of exploring the Word, we've done like 3,000 shows.
Wow.
And we've taught through the entire Bible like three times. And Bert and I give God the glory, but about 2 weeks ago, we turned in the final edits of our third book. We did 100 Bible questions, and then we did 100 Bible questions for families. And so coming out this fall, Bert and I will be releasing 100 Bible questions on prophecy and the end times.
Oh.
And so anyway, we appreciate the fact. And one last thing I got to say this. Thursday morning, I am in Wichita, Kansas, Thursday through Sunday at East Metro Baptist Church. We've got a big thing, a lot of churches on board. We'll be doing, and I'll be in a Christian school Friday morning, but we're teaching on the 21 toughest questions your kids will ask about Christianity. And then on Sunday morning, I'll be doing a message on Daniel and Revelation. So it's on my website, alexmcfarland.com. If you're in the Wichita, Kansas area, I'd love to see you Thursday through Sunday.
And we have a lot of listeners in that area. Listen, I'm so happy that you guys have gotten through the plagues, Exodus, and the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and because it's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, because Israel just goes on from glory to glory here, don't they? From one blessed victory after another, just showing their, demonstrating their faith in God, unwaverable. So this is going to be very interesting.
Not always.
No, I was tongue in cheek.
Yeah, and Moses is like, Lord, just kill me. I can't lead these people.
Yeah, no, but there have been a few pastors that have probably prayed that. And, anyway, Alex, thank you so much for being on with us today. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. And we do thank God for the ministry that he has given you and the grace he gives you to faithfully carry that out.
God is good. Blessings to all. Thanks for letting me be on.
All right. Thank you, brother.
You know, it's not only the Democratic Party that's whose God is woke. It's the mainstream media.
Yes, that is true.
Mainstream media. We remember the clip we played yesterday of that CBS reporter, that, and it was with Marco Rubio,
yeah.
Secretary of State.
Margaret Brennan is the lady you're talking about.
Brennan, she of course, Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance talking about the dangers of losing the freedom of speech in Europe. Brennan says to Marco Rubio that it was because of freedom of speech gave rise to Hitler and the Nazis and the death of 6 million Jews. And fortunately, Marco Rubio very quietly corrected her on that, because there wasn't freedom of speech that gave rise to Hitler and the Nazis and the genocide of the Jewish people. But here was a very smart lady, Ms. Brennan, blaming freedom of speech for the rise of the Nazi Party in Germany, which was totally false. But she had to dedicate herself to being against Trump.
Well, you know, we played yesterday. We played, and Chris, maybe you can kind of comment on this. We played that segment, CBS. I met him in 60 Minutes, but they were over in Germany.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to prosecutors.
Yes, talking to prosecutors, asking if you do this, and it was all about free speech.
Yes.
Is that illegal? Yes, that's illegal. Now, have either of you guys seen that? Is that?
I have.
You have seen it?
Yeah, I'll post a link on our page so people can see what we're
I'm saying,
about
have here. You seen the 60 Minutes
I've episode? Seen that excerpt. I haven't seen the episode.
I'm just asking. I'm wondering which side of this issue 60 Minutes is going to come down on.
Oh, it's obvious, I think.
Obvious what?
They want to go in the way of Germany.
Yes, that's what I'm wondering.
Which is ludicrous, because CBS exists because of the First Amendment, you know, in free speech. Like any news outlet in America with a broadcast license, which CBS is one of many examples, exists because of our laws.
Yeah, Ray, I got to say, this is becoming bizarro world when you have media outlets, and I think Fred's exactly right. They are given over to this, people call it the woke mind virus. I'm good with that. Or the woke ideology. I've been reading. The expectation is that this 60 Minutes, I don't know if it's the whole show or the segment, but the left politically, but also in the news media, seems set on going down this path. You weren't on the show yesterday, so I don't know if you heard this, but these German prosecutors were saying, yes, if you insult somebody publicly, you can go to jail. And if you retweet something, and I am amazed that the left, including those in the media, seem to want to go down the path of restricting free speech when, as Chris says, they've benefited from it.
Well, look, the First Amendment to our Constitution makes it perfectly clear. There should be no law prohibiting the exercise of free speech, free press, exercise of religion, and so on. That's, America was built on a certain set of freedoms, individual freedoms, the right to speak your mind. So now in Germany, the leftist crowd over there has gone so far as to say, if you post a meme we don't like, if you post a meme, just a little cartoon on your Facebook, on your social media, Twitter, whatever it is, you can go to jail. It's beyond belief that the leaders in Germany are saying this, but what's much worse is to think that a network like CBS is going to back that up. Well, woke mind virus is a good word for it because it destroys the ability to think critically, logically, and honestly.
Now, folks, I do want to clarify, I have not seen the entire segment. I don't know that's how 60 Minutes could come down on it, but if they, to your point, Chris, if they were to be supportive of restrictions, I mean, I have heard Hillary Clinton talking about the fact that we've got to crack down on quote unquote misinformation. I think there are a lot of people in the news media who follow that reasoning, who would therefore agree with what they're doing in Germany. And part of the reason that they agree with it is they hate, Fred, they hate the influence of a platform like X, which has undermined the monopoly that the legacy media once had on telling Americans what was happening and how to think about it.
I believe if Kamala Harris had been elected president and the Democrats had 4 more years, then the license of American Family Radio would have been in jeopardy.
I absolutely believe that is not hyperbole.
Yeah,
we had discussions.
Yes.
Here. Yeah. With our general counsel Abe Hamilton. Yeah. What do we do if?
Well, Kamala Harris, I believe, and the Democrats, the left wing, and the Democrats, would say we believe in free speech, as long as the speech agrees with us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else we're going to classify as misinformation, a threat to democracy, all the phrases that they
used.
We heard for 4 years. And therefore, and we saw it. We've seen it in Germany in the last 10, 15 years. They went in and grabbed the kids of a homeschool family.
Yes.
Because they weren't, the homeschool family, and I think, Chris, you can correct me, the homeschool family, according to German authorities, were not raising their kids with state values.
That's exactly what they said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not raising good German citizens.
Yes.
Who believe what everybody should believe.
Yes. State values being pro-homosexuality, pro-transgenderism. I believe that was coming to our shores by way of the Democratic Party.
You know, when you hear stories like that happening in modern-day Germany, where are the, well, Hitler did this kind of thing, people today? Because that's obviously just as wrong as what Hitler and the Nazi parties were doing to people who dared speak differently.
Yeah, but you know what they are doing in the media? They're doing what Brennan did to Marco Rubio. Yeah.
They're all
in cahoots. Tried to make it look like the Trump administration are the Nazis.
Yes.
When it's the left
that
seems to be drifting towards that totalitarian, authoritarian approach. And the Bill of Rights is just an obstacle to crush or get around.
This is the same network.
It's stunning.
This is the same network with a guy that used to sign off telling people that's the way it is.
Yeah, Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
Yes.
CBS. For a long time, Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in America. And what he said, in fact, my dad was, he loved Walter Cronkite until Walter Cronkite went, I think he went to Vietnam, and I'm not trying to open up that can of worms. A lot of people have changed their minds about whether we should have been in Vietnam, et cetera, et cetera. But Walter Cronkite came back, and for the first time ever, okay, he gave his opinion. Mm. But before that, nobody knew what his opinion was because that's the way journalism was done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, Ray, you want to toss in here? I'm sorry, folks. I've been in preach mode for the last hour.
What do you think about Vietnam, Ray?
Free speech on the left means I can say whatever I want for me, and for the rest of you, sit down and shut up.
Yes. Yeah, and the stunning thing was that Hillary Clinton, which I keep going back to her, I know she's not the standard bearer for the left anymore. Okay, but all this stuff about disinformation and, you know, Russian disinformation and all these kinds of things, as it all turned out, she was the one doing it.
Yes.
And the Democratic Party and the people on the left, they were the ones doing all this while they accused Trump of being the one who is doing it. Folks, it's I never thought, you know, 1984 or Animal Farm or any of those kinds of books that I read in high school were ever going to come to pass in this country. But we dodged a bullet in 2024.
Yes.
For whatever reason, God has chosen to have mercy on us and not put us through that kind of fire. But that kind of fire was coming down the pike, and we may have held it off. People, you need to keep praying because this battle isn't over yet.
That's right. That's right.
All right. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, Steve Jordahl joins us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.